Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, yes. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, Nighthawks Radio. We own the night. I'm your host, Coach Epps.
You're not going to introduce me tonight?
No, Coach Coop. I really don't feel like introducing you tonight. I'll let you introduce yourself and start a new trend.
It sounds like you're a little slow today. You having a rough week, Coach?
Oh, no. Great week, Coach. Got a lot of comments on the show last week, and I think we're putting together some pretty good topics for the Blog Talk Radio show, Coach. So I'm really happy and excited about that.
Well, I like how you take credit for it, though, you know, all that, Coach. But I'll give you the heads up on that.
Well, you know, Coach. I mean,
yeah, you're the Johnny Carson or David Letterman. I'm just the guy that sits in the chair right beside you.
Really? Okay. Now, since you're in the chair, I guess we can get started on this week's topic. We're going to talk about this week, Coach Coop, exciting topic we have this week. We're going to say, should college athletes be getting paid more than just their scholarships?
Ooh. Well, you know, Coach, we touched on when we were doing a couple segments back, we kind of touched on this. We didn't go into depth, and I'm kind of glad you brought this back up because there's a lot of exploring here, and I'm sure we'll get a lot of discussion. Hopefully we get some callers to come in and chime in and add their opinion and see how they feel. I know how I feel about it, but I'll let you start off, and then I'll chime in.
Okay, Coach. Also, aside talking about the college athlete, Coach, we're going to go around the league, the IWFL, the Women's Football League. We get ready to get kicked off here in a little over a week, Coach, and I know you're excited about that.
Oh, yes, Coach. Yes, I'm definitely excited. Teams are having their scrimmages around the league and gearing up, and most of them have been in practice since January, so we'll touch on that second half of the show. And hopefully people will be listening and see what we have to say. And, of course, we've got some matchups coming up this next week. And we might make a few predictions.
Oh, predictions. Oh, well, let's go, Coach Coop.
Well, let's go to that topic at hand first. We'll close the show with those predictions. That
okay. Yeah, I thought you would digress there a little bit, Coach. We're going to start off with college athletes, and should they be getting paid more than just a scholarship? And remember, if you want to chime in, we're at area code 347-826-7278. You can chime in anytime. We'd love to hear from you. So let's kind of get started here, Coach. Economics seems to be the big topic last couple of weeks. We've been covering economics in different degrees here, Coach. And we kind of sticking to the segment of economics and sports, Coach, because it seemed to be pretty popular as far as the masses. And college athletes, Coach, I mean, you got the Final Four this weekend.
Ooh, big money coming, big money. Big money, packed stadiums, popcorn, a lot of popcorn, hot dogs, you name it, it's going to be sold, paraphernalia. Everybody's going to be out. People who are even not fans of those particular four teams, they'll still be a part of that economic package.
You're absolutely correct, Coach. Let's talk a minute. I remember a few years ago where the USC craze was going on. You remember that, Coach? The USC football craze was going on with the prolific athlete Reggie Bush and all the money that Reggie Bush was making for USC. You remember that, Coach?
Oh, do I remember? You know, I'm a USC fan. You know, that's my school, Trojans. You know, I like that. Like that guy riding around the helmet and the horse and the sword. I don't know.
Yeah, I understand. You're a Renaissance type
Put
of guy,
in,
Coach.
Put me in.
but I'm just reminded when they were playing back then and everything was hot for USC, the amount of money that was generated, Coach. I mean, generated for home and away games, everybody trying to get a glimpse of Reggie Bush and try to project where he was going in the draft. But, I mean, the number of drugs, they did a thing on TV, Sports Center one time, talking about the jerseys that Reggie Bush had sold for the school and all the money that it was generating, Coach. And I just couldn't help but wondering, Shouldn't he have got paid, Coach?
No question, Coach. And I strongly feel that there should be some compensation. I mean, a lot of critics will say that, you know, you go into the most prestigious school where the tuition is extremely high, and, you know, you're getting a full scholarship. And it's not just the education that they're getting, and there's another little, a few other niceties that go along with that. I mean, they get some of the best food, they get the, you know, the top pick of classes, and, you know, they're treated differently. But, you know, when it comes to the money, the two just don't equate. I mean, the money, as you just mentioned, that's poured into the stadium. And a lot of times, though, the money that pours into those stadiums, you know, there's some fallout, not fallout, but, you know, some of the other programs that are not existing or not bringing in the people, you know, some of that money does go over into those other departments to help them flourish. But the athlete himself, you know, $120,000, $140,000, depending on what college you go to, you know, you're getting all of those, you're getting all of the type of, you know, accolades and money that's going out. It's amazing that they're not getting a piece of the pie. I mean, yeah, they're getting their education. Yeah, they're getting some money. But there should be more than that, Coach. I mean, there should be something. I mean, people will say, well, you got the NCAA saying, you know, take away their eligibility. Now, there's just too many rules right there that are in place that hinders the young athlete. And a lot of times these young athletes get themselves in trouble because they don't have any pocket money, Coach.
You're absolutely correct, Coach. It's what I'm trying to figure out. I mean, let me be honest, my theory on this. I don't want to pay the athlete like a pro athlete in college. Don't get me wrong. But, I remember when I was on full scholarship in college and I played college football. I mean, you're not even allowed to get a job, Coach. And that hinders you from making money. And what I'm trying to say, if I'm bringing a college in millions and millions of dollars, Coach, I'm not asking you for $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 in cash per year. But if I'm bringing that type of revenue in, shouldn't I be entitled to something that I can survive off of besides scholarship money?
Very well said, and it's true. And I tend to think that some of the rules are in place are there to protect the athlete. I mean, because when, you know, money starts coming into that play, then you start, you know, questioning whether or not games are going to be thrown. You know, so if anytime you put money and athletes together or money and sports together, you always have that potential of someone abusing the system. And, I mean, could the NCAA protect the students from all of that by not giving them access to money or means? I mean, there may be some other things that they can do. Maybe, a clothing account or something of that nature, or free food cards or something like that. A little bit more than what they're getting now. I mean, the scholarship, $120,000, like I said before, $140,000, free meals, you know, best trainers, you know, to get their bodies back in shape, best, you know, top equipment to work out on. There's a number of things that they get first preference to.
Well, you're absolutely correct, Coach. Let's see how our callers feel. We have a caller from 301. Are you, Cole? Caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Is that me?
That would be you, caller. How you doing tonight?
Yeah, I'm just listening to you, brothers. This is Nick. I check in with you every once in a while to see what you're talking about.
Hey, good evening, Nick.
You know, brothers, I want to tell you, one of the reasons why I like your show is because you get into those subjects that are kind of behind the scenes. You know what I'm saying? More than scores or what somebody's doing, but really getting into how this whole system works. And you've raised an interesting question here. I'm listening to you, and I thought that these young athletes were pretty much coddled and taken care of and had an easy time of it. But I'm hearing you, brothers, say that they do have problems with money when they're at that stage.
No question.
And that it's difficult for them to get along. I guess like most people, I thought, you know, they were riding the gravy train. I understand that, yes, there are prohibitions against them being paid and putting any money in their pockets. But you raise an interesting point. I mean, surely if they're going to be bringing in, as you say, millions of dollars, there should be something set aside for them. How is it that they can get away with this? That just sounds like they're exploiting these young athletes.
And you're absolutely correct, Nick. To a certain extent, they are exploiting the athletes, and this is why we're trying to raise the topic tonight to see what the listeners think about this. Because, like I said, Reggie Bush, they did a piece on Reggie Bush at USC during this time. It was like almost like a rock concert everywhere they traveled. USC played college football. They were always on TV. They were, you know, they were the number one team in the country. They hadn't lost in 1 or 2 years. They won the national championship, and Reggie Bush jerseys was flying off the shelf like water. Now, we're talking about the average football jersey. If you get a replica jersey, you're talking $70-$80.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get an authentic Reggie Bush USC jersey, now you're talking $200 to $250.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they sold approximately, let's say, 50,000 of these jerseys in 2 year span at $250 a pop. And that's a direct connection that, you know, that yes, they love the Trojans and USC, but they're a fan of Reggie Bush.
Mm-hmm.
So this particular athlete, this one particular athlete is bringing in so much revenue. How is it that he gets no portion of the revenue that he's bringing in for the college?
Well, that's criminal. You know, the man should at least get royalties. I mean, in any other feel, if your image is shown or purchased, or if you're associated with a product, like in this case, the brother's associated with a football team, and he's generating those kinds of revenues on the basis of his performance and his personality, he should get a percentage, a royalty. You know, that's just theft.
Nick, this is Coach Coop here, and one of a couple of things I was listening to both of you speaking. There's a little bit more to this than we're discussing here. I mean, yes, the school's getting money, but think of the potential of the students coming to USC because of the media coverage. You know, USC, big game, you're going to have the big channels, you know, showing the game.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm a potential high school athlete, you know, and I see that, I look at the coverage, you know, there's a possibility that I want to go there.
That's right.
And you're absolutely correct about that, Coach Coop. It's a possibility that you might want to go there, but it's to me it's highway robbery, because I understand that they're paying hundreds of thousands of dollars for these athletes' tuition. Don't get me wrong; that's a form of payment within itself. Mm-hmm. But we're talking millions. It's a big difference between hundreds of thousands and millions.
Yes,
you know, like Coach Coop is saying, you talk about TV revenue. During the time span of 2 years, USC was on TV so much they was almost a permanent fixture.
Mm-hmm.
And people wanted to see him. So that means you're getting endorsements in.
That's
not
right.
Only are you getting endorsements in because of the TV spots that's getting in between the football time at USC, you're getting people who was constantly watching USC's being fed that this is the potential college I want to go to.
That, not only that, but you know, a lot of the alumni, the people that go to that college, they contribute more money when the team is successful. They're proud to be associated with the college, and the college can generate money in the form of donations and contributions on the basis of the performance of their team. So there are many revenue streams.
I wouldn't even be opposed to the fact that they would even just, you know, put some money into a 401k or deferred comp, you know, for them down the road. Something that he can at least, you know, have down the road, not necessarily benefit from it. I mean, because, you know, all his room and board is taken care of. And like I said, there's that possibility of people tampering with the player. And
not only that, but there's a possibility that he could be injured and never go on to a pro career.
That's true.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct.
So
you know,
I wouldn't be opposed to that.
I think, Coach Coop, I think you got a point there because you know, there's nothing wrong, even if you don't give it to him directly. Like you say, if you put it into some kind of fund that could be used later in the case of injury, you know, but just to get all of that money and not to share anything with the athletes responsible for generating it, you guys have pulled the lid off this thing. You know, I never really gave that much thought, but you guys have pulled the lid and uncovered just a gross injustice that's going on every day. And you know, most fans never even think about that.
What would you think, Nick, of what would be a fair compensation for a player? Let's say, I mean, because you're going to have, you know, you're going to have the star, you're going to have that mediocre player, and you're going to have that player at the bottom of the rung. And how do you differentiate between who gets what and what would you give them? I mean, would it be based on performance? Would it be based on your promises to his parents before he came there? I mean, what would be the salary range, and would you differentiate? Would it, or just be one flat fee across the board?
Well, no, I'm not sure about a range, but obviously I think it should be based on performance. I mean, let's face it, those players that perform better get higher paying contracts because that's what you're doing. You're paying them for the skill and their ability to perform on the field. I would think a percentage, I mean, the kinds of revenues the coaches are talking about, you guys there, I mean, geez, even if you gave him 10% and then put that aside for him, you know, I just don't see not giving the athlete anything. It's just exploitation.
And it definitely is, Nick. And one of the things that come to mind with that is this. I looked at the Federal Fair Wages Act posted the other day at work, and it said, you know, equal work, I mean, you know, equal pay for equal work.
Yeah.
Is that equal?
Well, no,
if I generate this, let's just put it in a monetary form. If I generate myself in Jersey revenue sale, me, if I generate that school $10 million and you only, over my four-year span, you're paying $167,000 for me to go to this school, and I generate the school $10 million, is that fair?
Well, no, especially if you got another athlete on the team that's not generating anywhere near that money.
Right.
I mean, you know, in any other field, you're paid on the basis of your performance. Unless you're one of these Wall Street lawyers they're talking about, they run a company in the ground and, you know, get a bonus anyway. But most of us, you know, we're paid on the basis of how we perform. And extraordinary performance demands extraordinary compensation. So if you're bringing in $10 million, I can't see any problem with you getting at least 10%, $1 million. You know, who could argue with that?
Well, let me blow this away with you, coaches, because, you know, you talked about the games and the jerseys and whatnot. You talked about the media, but there's another facet of income. You talk a couple other facets of income. Bowls, if they get to go to the bowls. Big money bowls. Then with the big bowls, you got corporate sponsors. So there's money coming in hand over a fist, enough to go around for everyone.
And you're absolutely correct. Hey, Nick, do me a favor. Hold on the call on the phone a little while. I got to take another call. We'll get right back to you.
All right.
Finish up with this interesting conversation.
Okay.
410 area code, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm well. How are you, Coach?
I'm doing fine. You're on the air with Coach Coop and Coach Epps. What's your question?
Just give us your first name, if you would, and where are you from?
My name is Lil, and I'm from Baltimore.
Hey, Lil. Thanks for calling back.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. Then what's your question tonight, Lil?
It wasn't so much a question as it was a comment in reference to the conversation that you gentlemen were having as far as, you know, college players getting, you know, compensated for their work on the court and on the field. And I wholeheartedly agree that there should be some form of compensation for the players because the coaches, you know, they aren't restricted. You know, they don't have any, you know, restrictions, you know, as far as, you know, the income that they can generate. You know, you see Coach K on TV doing all sorts of commercials, and it's like, okay, when does he have time to do commercials and run practice and recruit, you know, all in the same year, you know, let alone the same month or week? So, you know, he has this lifetime contract, and, you know, the coach just signed with Kentucky for like $4 million and this, that, and the third. And it's just like, you know, the coaches are able to make all of this money for their families, but as a college athlete, I've been there myself, you know, sometimes it gets hard. You know, yeah, we are getting a free education, But, you know, at the end of the day and it's time and practice is over and the calf is closed and, you know, we can't work and we don't have money in our pockets, what are we going to do now? You know?
And, well, you know what, Lil, you are absolutely correct, but I would challenge you in using the word free if you're an athlete on scholarship in college, because it's not free. You know, you're earning your actual compensation for college education. Because,
right.
I mean, if they're paying you to produce for them, because, you know, I mean, if you wasn't a commodity to the school, meaning that you really didn't help the program out, you wouldn't be on scholarship too long.
Well, yeah, I agree with you.
And so I think that you're getting paid a compensation for a job that you're doing.
Right.
And the part that really gets to me is that you're over the age of 18.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't you be compensated?
Right.
I mean, at that point, legally, you can sign for yourself, and you're entering the realm of adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't you be compensated for the college athletic world of all the money they bring in? I mean, look at the ticket sales. Average football stadiums in college holds more people than NFL stadiums.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. The average college stadium holds up to 75, 80,000 people.
Continuously, full house every week.
You know? So, I mean, you're talking about money. Money on top of money. And like I said, and you're performing in front of all of these people, and you're only being compensated a one-time fee, which is your scholarship.
Okay, but to play devil's advocate, when you have, you know, we have, you know, you're referring to, you know, USC, like, you know, the top 10, you know, schools that, you know, are consistently in the top 10, top 5 of, you know, the national polls, you know, if, you know, the NCAA were to begin to reimburse players based on performance and things of that sort, wouldn't it create, you know, an effect where the schools at the top will remain at the top? Because then they would receive this notoriety, and, you know, players are realizing, you know, when they're being recruited, like, oh, hey, I have the potential to get a lot of money here because this school is getting face time, they're getting airtime. Whereas, you know, smaller mid-major schools, you still have players busting their butts, you know, in the weight room, you know, in the classroom, on the field, you know, they're still busting their butts, but they're just not as skilled and, you know, as, you know, players at USC and Texas. You know, so wouldn't it create sort of like, you know, just that hierarchy where teams, like the Yankees, you know, they're going to be at the top. They are consistently at the top. They have this big budget. And, you know, teams that are trying to come up, it would be so much more difficult for them to come up because they just don't have that spending power that other teams have. What happens then?
And absolutely, you make a very interesting point. I mean, you will create that distance. But let's face it, USC is creating that distance without paying people.
Right.
So you're going to always have that. I mean, you know, USC is going to be on TV regardless of whether they pay the players or not. You know, Notre Dame, I mean, they have, what, a 10-year contract with NBC? And Notre Dame ain't been to a good bowl game since I was a child.
Wow, that was like back in 1930, right?
Right. That was 1930. But what I'm saying is these schools are going to have that type of power regardless. What
right.
we're saying is at some point, the people who's making this happen, which are the players, should be getting some type of compensation. I'm not saying that you directly give them millions of dollars. That's not what I'm saying. But like you said, I mean, if I'm bringing in millions and I don't have $10 in my pocket and I'm walking around the college campus, but I'm bringing you millions of dollars and everybody's wearing my jersey, it's something that has to be done about that.
Coach, I'm going to put my school administrator's hat on and take another look at this. I've got these players that are coming in. I'm giving them a four-year ride. But I've also got other programs, suffering programs, whether it be the tennis club, the golf club, or whoever. These programs are suffering. I'm not getting a draw. I need money and equipment. That money that's generated from the football, I need in those other programs. And mind you, the programs are vast. And so it may not be enough there because I have so many other programs and so many other places that I need to recruit from. I may need a debate person. But also, we, you know, I have to put out millions and millions and millions of dollars on insurance alone to make just in case. you know, one of these athletes get hurt, you know, that I have to have that coverage. I have to have coverage. You know, insurance costs money, and you're talking tens of millions of dollars. But I need those programs, Coach. So, I mean, so is there enough money? Is there enough money? I'd like to give them money, but I've got other programs that I need to fulfill.
Let me say this to you, Coach. Badminton at USC is totally different from badminton at Coppin State University. The program is going to be funded totally different, Coach. And I understand what you're saying, but it's going to be that difference in funding regardless. Like I said, it's going to be a hard choice to decide certain things. But like I'm saying across the gamut now, it's not fair now. And no one's getting paid.
This is Nick again. Let me jump in here, coaches, with a question. When the college athlete wins the Heisman, or is noted for outstanding performance, in addition to these awards, is there any financial compensation that comes with that?
Yeah, the Heisman, it comes with generally the number one pick in the draft.
Mm.
Generally. That's not always the beat-all. I mean, today's draft is not the beat-all, but let's just say up to about the mid-90s, it was almost you were guaranteed to go number one.
I see.
And that's just an that just affords them a higher signing bonus because, you know, when you look at baseball salaries, and we're talking about football now, you know, the salary structure is totally different and contracts are totally two different things.
Mm-hmm.
You could sign a signing bonus to play football and get a salary on top of that, but if you can be cut, the only thing you're really going to keep is your signing bonus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with baseball, you sign a contract for – $25 million, you're going to get $25 million. If you hurt your pinky, got a bloody sock like whatever that pitcher is, you know, he's going to pay regardless.
Yeah. It does afford you on the next level a certain economical climb. But, you know, to win the Heisman on the college level, it's not guaranteed you're going to you're not going to get compensated at that point in time. You know, so
it's a promise of what you might generate in the future. So let me get back to Coop's point, and then I'll let you guys kick it. Yeah, you have all these other programs that you have to fund, and I'm sure that money that's generated by football is distributed through two other programs on campus. But if, like Coach Epps is saying, it's tens of millions of dollars,
no question. Couldn't
you still, I mean, set aside something for that athlete?
I agree with you. I think there should be, you know, 401k or something. You know, once he graduates, there's a little stipend or something for him down the road, and it can draw interest for him.
Yeah.
Start from day one. For the first 4 years, at least he's got some interest going in. Maybe not so much right now, but he would have some interest, you know, at the end of his 4 years or 5 years or 6 years or 7 years. But, you know, at some point, you know, he's going to depend on how good is he, as well as he performs, he may even opt out. Now, what happens when that player opts out after 2 years or three years of performing at a high rate? Now he wants to go to pros. He wants to go to the pros.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you still give him that four-year benefit of salary? I mean, you gave him 3 years of an education. He didn't complete it, you know, with the promise to give him four. But he didn't complete it. Now he's going on to the pros. What does the school recoup? But I do believe that they should get some kind of compensation down the road. And like I said, I wouldn't want to put it in their hands because then that just kind of opens the door to that, you know, that unsavory character out there that wants to change the game. You know, drop the ball, fumble the ball, don't kick the field goal, that kind of garbage. You know, you put that kind of money in the hand, and only bad things, you know, are going to come out of it. But if you put something away from the school's end, there is no outside tampering. You don't have to worry about boosters and all this other stuff. You know, that there's a set aside of money, depending upon, again, performance. You can increase it. You know, you could have it stipulated that we're going to increase it maybe 5% or 10%, what have you. And that will be there. And then you have to worry about any kind of outside influence of coming into the game.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell me, coaches, now how do we get these ideas, these revolutionary ideas, on the agenda of the people who are benefiting from these games, on the agenda of the owners and the people who are pocketing all this money from the performance of the athletes?
I personally think, Nick, that it's going to have to start with the parents, and before these kids start signing contracts or making commitments to different colleges, there's going to need to be some grassroots pulling together of parents and to come up with some kind of way to put this on the table and to formulate this so when they do make a commitment to a school that that's in place.
You're absolutely right, Coach Cope, but I also think it needs to go to Congress. I think Congress needs to get involved because, I mean, let's face it, who regulates the NCAA?
Congress.
You know what I mean? Who who steps in and says what's proper and improper? Mm-hmm. NCAA makes all these rules up, but nobody really oversees the NCAA. And I think Congress needs to step in at some point and say, hey, we need to take a look at all this. You all are making just as much money, if not more, in some cases, than pro teams. And you're bringing these schools in a lot of money. And somebody needs to sit back and take a look at this. Like you said, and I think it needs to be done before all these, what they call, in February, the National Letter of Signing Intent Day. All of this stuff needs to be looked at. Congress needs to step in and take a look at it because, you know, let's face it, the Kentucky coach just got $34 million for the next 8 years. That's the coach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what part of the salary and revenue going right there. You know, $34 million. I mean, you didn't even hear of a college coach up until the late 90s, early 2000, that they was making millions of dollars in coaching in college. You know, I mean, a $34 million salary for basketball in Kentucky. So if we can afford to pay that coach $34 million, how much is that basketball program really bringing in?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the question. So if the coach can make $34 million, the star player can make nothing?
Well, brothers, I hate to inject this into it, but it just seems like a way, again, of exploiting black athletes, black workers, you know? I hate to inject the race thing into this, but what you're saying, Coach Epps, makes a lot of sense. If they're generating all that income, they can pay the coach $34 million. And yet, you know, the athletes don't get to share in a fair way in that revenue stream. It's just exploitation, brothers.
It definitely is exploitation, Nick, and this is what we're here to talk about. And that's what makes Blog Talk Radio show so interesting. Like I said, again, we're here on Blog Talk Radio. You can give us a call with your comments at 347-826-7278. We'd love to hear from you. And the hot topic tonight is, should college athletes be making more money than just their scholarships? And Nick, you're absolutely correct about what's going on, but, I mean, it has to be talked about to the point where somebody takes it serious enough to sit down and want to do something about it. We can only generate conversation on Blog Talk Radio, but somebody has to take a look at it and say, okay, this is something that we seriously need to sit down. I mean, Congress intervened on the Star Wars use, correct? Congress intervened on everything else. I think we need Congress to intervene on all these millions of dollars being generated by colleges, and the athletes are getting none of the benefits of it.
Well, once again, brothers, you take this discussion to a whole new realm and a whole new area. And this is the most interesting sports talk I've heard anywhere. Out of all the stuff on television and other radio stations, I don't think anybody, I mean, the conversation in the last 2 weeks, this conversation, nobody gets into it like you guys.
I appreciate that, Nick. I really do. Appreciate you always calling in and hearing your comments and bantering with us, and who knows, we may change the world.
Well, good luck. You're on the right track. I'm going to let somebody else call in.
Okay, I appreciate it, Nick. Talk to you next time.
Right on. I'm going to hang on and listen, but I'm going to give somebody else a chance.
Okay,
well,
I appreciate
just hang on, because we're going to go into another segment, and we, you know, like to hear what you say. But, you know, it's that time again. It's the time to, you know, talk about our sponsors, as always. And, you know, Coach, you know, I was interested to get a cup of coffee, and I went to one of these places, and the man asked me if I had if I would sign his paper, you know, to get my cup of coffee, and I pretty much told him I haven't gotten my stimulus package yet, and he told me that to come back tomorrow. So that's why I went on down to Peace and Cup of Joe down on Pratt Street, got me a great cup of coffee for a great price, and it was relaxing for me. And I tell you, if you want a cup of coffee and just want a place to go and relax and, you know, and just enjoy downtown Baltimore a little bit and not have to rush in and rush out, go down to Peace and a Cup of Joe in West Pratt. Also, Flambini Wear for your T-shirts and sports apparel. Go to Flambini Wear, located in White Marsh, Maryland. And then, Coach, you know, I'm getting worked out. I've been working out with the ladies, you know, and getting ready to get into the season. And, you know, we go down to Velocity Sports and get our work on so we can be ready and firm up those thighs and calves. Cause, as a matter of fact, you look like you kind of – you need a little workout there, Coach, because I don't know what's going on with you. But, you know, when I got my 12-pack going and you're only working on your six, I think you need to bump up your game and go down to Velocity Sports Performance down on Clarkview Road in Mount Washington.
Well, Coach, I don't mind going to Velocity Sports, but I think we need some type of beverage sponsor right behind Velocity Sports, because the only 12-pack you're going to see is from a beverage, Coach. So,
well, that's why I go on down to center. I go to my second place for a cup of coffee, and that's Zeke's. I go down to Zeke's so I can get my whole coffee bean or a half a cup of beans, but I can get it a whole or a cup and an or by a pound. And I tell you, some of the best coffee out there. And but you want to pick that up at any place that Eddie's Market, Charles Village, Waverly Shopping Center, and for the like. And those people who are still interested in coming out and playing for the Baltimore Nighthawks, we got spots open. Come on out, play football with us, women's football, great sport, great camaraderie. Just go to our website, BaltimoreNighthawks.com, and if you want to play, sign up. If you want to sponsor a player or the team, sign up. We got season tickets available. Go to brownpapertickets.com for season tickets. They're a great price. The season's going to kick off in a week.
In a week, Coach?
In a week.
In a week, the official IWFL football season will begin. Independent Women Football League, professional women tackle football, Coach. And if you haven't seen it, it's very exciting. It's something to see. It's something that you need to see. It's something that you got to see. You want us on that field, Coach. You need us on that field.
I tell you, we're fortunate we are able to work with a great group of women. They're very dedicated. They're very intelligent. They work hard. And, you know, we're not some of the easiest coaches to deal with. So if they can put up with us, Coach, you know, my hat's off to them. You know, they go 110%, and what can I say? They're outstanding.
You're absolutely correct, Coach. I'm looking forward to the season. It's coming up shortly. Like I said, a little over a week, we'll be getting started with the kickoff of the IWFL, Coach. And as they say, football is not gone. Football is back.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And they talking about arena football trying to squeeze in on us. I ain't let it happen, Coach. If I got to go down there and turn out the lights in the stadium down there, they could be playing in the dark.
You got that right, Coach, because I think women football is here to stay, and we're going to make a positive impact on the United States in a positive way, and I think it's going to be up and coming. I mean, look at all the teams that are spiking up across the country.
Yeah, we got a bunch of new teams coming in, and they're going to be getting their little first of battle, or taste of battle, playing for the very first time in the 2009 season. And it's going to be pretty interesting. Teams like the, I believe it's a new team called the Nightmares coming there. I just lost my train of thought there. New team just came up. The Nemesis, New York Nemesis, brand new team for 2009. And some of these teams, if you have an opportunity, go to their website and look at some of these websites on these teams. They got some great workups on the players, the coaches, and some of the sponsors as well.
You're absolutely right, Coach. I mean, we got to get it in there. I mean, these teams are—they're doing their thing, Coach. I mean, what can I tell you? We're going to have a positive season this year with the IWFL, and we're looking forward to getting it done again this year, Coach.
No question, Coach. You know, we were in a tough battle last year with some of the great teams, with the Pittsburgh Passion and DC Divas and New York Sharks, all champions. The past couple of years, we were in the thick of it. Every game we were in the thick of it, and I kind of expect the same thing this year. and with a little twist on the positive side.
You're absolutely correct, Coach. I mean, and a big shout out to the Independent Women Football League, the Dallas Diamond, the champion of 2008, Coach, the world champion of IWFL Football League. And they opened up a ladies football camp there in Dallas, Coach, and right there at Cedar Park High School in Cedar Park, Texas.
Right.
And they had a Women's Day football camp opening up, and they were, and the champs were showing them how it was done, man. And I think that's a real positive thing.
Yeah, Coach, they were working down in Syntex, Texas, down there with the young ladies of the Flag Football League, showing them different techniques for playing football. And great organization down there with the Syntex Club. That, you know, their sole purpose is to, you know, organize, I guess they're the organizing body for young girls in high school to play flag football. So that's a great thing they got going down there, and we talked about that before, and that's what we need, that grassroots process to get more women involved in the game and just have it flourish throughout the country.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct there, Coach. This kickoff is going to be real exciting next week. Like I said, the defending champion, the Dallas Diamonds, Coach, they're looking to defend their crown this year, and all I can say, the Baltimore Nighthawks is looking to get a piece of that crown, Coach.
Oh, yeah, we want a piece of that crown. We want all of the crown. We want a piece of it, Coach. We want it all. But, you know, the Diamonds are doing it right. I mean, they approach the game as professionals. You know, they've gotten into the off the OTAs. They're, you know, they're doing strength and exercises. I've read where they're doing yoga. And, you know, they're just getting ready. I mean, they're doing all the right things to repeat as champions for the 2009 season.
Well, I mean, you know, let me give another plug out there to the IWFL Women's Championship, Coach, weekend, home to Central Texas. The IWF Championship weekend will be held for 4 days, July 23rd, 24th, 25th, and 26th of 2009, Coach. It's going to be exciting. Down in Texas, the only thing I can say, every time I go to Texas, it's always a good time.
Well, I hope to go down there and be on the field, Coach, and not going down as a spectator. That's my aim. That's where I hope we're to be. And, you know, although, you know, some great competition out there, and take my hats off to them. But, you know, Baltimore has a reputation of being a tough team, and we're going to be ready. We're going to be ready, and we're going to give it our best shot.
And you're absolutely right, Coach. I'll be there on the field in Texas one way or another. Whether I'll be there with the team or just going to be there, but I'll be on the field, Coach.
Hey, Coach, did you know there was a championship game played over in Japan?
Wow.
Yeah, the team Stars and Stripes playing against Team Japan. First time I heard of it. I wasn't even aware of that. So, you know, the game is growing all across the country. It's not just here within the borders of the U.S. And, you know, we have the Canadian League, and we've got the European League. That's the first time I was aware that even Japan was playing football. And I was reading about it, Coach, and it was very interesting. You know, they're very polite people. And it was interesting. One of the comments was that prior to the snap of the ball, people were just fanatics, noise everywhere. But when they came up to hike the ball, dead silence.
Mm.
Dead silence. And when they hit you, Coach, and they laid you out, guess what they did?
What'd they do, Coach?
They picked you up, Coach, brushed you off, said, try again. Very polite. Very, very polite from what I understand.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's going to be exciting, Coach. We also have new teams in the RWFL this year. We're welcoming the Philadelphia Firebirds, Coach. We're welcoming them to the East North Atlantic Division.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Coach, I'm looking at the matchup here on the 2009 schedule, and I've seen some good matchups. I look see the California Quake coming back, playing the Los Angeles Amazons. I think the Amazons are a new team this year. I could be wrong, but I think they're a new team this year. And the Quakes coming in with an 8-1 record. Look like they're vying for the title. Of course, the Diamonds are 11-0. They're playing a new team, Energy. And you got let's see what a big let's see what we got here. Something I think is juicy. Something I want to pick an upset, Coach. I just want to pick something that's going to be an upset. Well, I think the Sharks and the Nemesis, the two New York teams, will be playing each other. And I'm going to predict the Nemesis is going to take out the Sharks that first game.
Yeah, Coach, you predicting that?
I'm predicting that, Coach. Nemesis over the Sharks. Sharks were 6-2. Nemesis, I just like that name, Coach. Ooh, just, you know, just Nemesis. They lose. I may not talk about them the rest of the season. But I'm sure they're going to give it their best shot. But that's my pick for the week. I'm looking at the Nemesis taking over the Sharks. And I think I want to try and do that every week. I want to pick a game that may cause a little controversy. And if anybody, those Nemesis people out there, to call in, tell us what you think. You got a week before the game, call in. Tell us if you got some predictions. You know the makeup of your team. Give us a call.
You're not joking there, Coach. We reached that segment of the show. Also, well, we're going to talk about the current sporting events, Coach. What's new on the wire for the sports world?
Well, I see Dante Stallworth is getting ready to go to jail. I don't know. I just don't understand it, Coach. And there was a little bit more on the story where the player down in Miami was going down to the hospital and was stopped by the police officer, who didn't believe he was going to the emergency room.
That was Dallas, Texas, Coach. Let me correct you there, but go ahead and finish the story.
Did I say Miami?
Yes, you did.
Hey, Coach, is it down south?
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
It must be time for vacation for you, Coach. Go ahead.
But, yeah, the player was stopped on the way to the hospital with his family, and unfortunately the officer pulled him over and had his weapon drawn and had it pointed at him and his family, and they were just trying to get down and see their mother-in-law before she left this earth, and the officer held him at bay. He apologized later, but, I wasn't happy with that at all, Coach. I mean, there's such a thing that they have discretion. I mean, he's right there in front of a hospital. I mean, hey, let him go in, and where's he going to go?
Well, the officer issued a formal apology to the family, and henceforth retired, Coach. Did you hear that?
Well, he should have retired. And matter of fact, he might even get sued. Because I know I'd be suing, Coach. But, it's just a travesty that you have people out there that, sometimes abuse their powers and don't use any common sense. And unfortunately for him, the player didn't get a chance to see his in-law pass. And that's just sad. And I think the officer only been on like 3 years, maybe 5 years, but that's inexcusable.
You're absolutely right, Coach. Guess what else is on the hot wire today?
What you got, Coach?
Jay Cutler. We broke that story a couple weeks ago, Coach. Jay
Gone.
Cutler is now a Chicago Bear.
Gone.
Is that the power of what is that? I'm going to make up a word today. Bratism, Coach. I think he was a brat, and he kind of got his way and got out of there.
He didn't want to leave, Coach. He kept saying all along, I'm not going to leave. Then you had the new coach saying, no, we want him here, blah, 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 this, that, the other. Next thing you know, he's gone. I mean, but it's a business. I'm not surprised by any of this.
Well, Coach, we have a caller from the 325 area code. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am. It's Sports Geek.
Hey, Sports Geek, welcome back.
Thank you.
Yeah, didn't hear from you in a while watching the blog talk chat. Didn't catch you last week, but glad you're back.
I'm back. I'm hitting around. Wanted to say, the Bears are going to the Super Bowl.
Oh, Bear fan, huh?
Big-time Bear fan. The Bears.
Well, hey, Sports Geek, this is Coach Scoop. Now, you know after they did that, the shuffle, that was it.
Come on now, don't give them that too much now. Stuff happened, wasn't that bad.
No, because they made it to the championship. As a matter of fact, the Bears made history. The first two black coaches in NFL history to appear in the Super Bowl at the same time.
That's right. It sure was. Tony Dungy and Lovie Smith.
Yeah, it sure was. And Lovie Smith, for those who don't know, is a protege of Tony Dungy's.
That's right.
That Sports Geek, I'm going to ask you now, are you a really true fan? Did you get to go to the game, or did you just watch it on TV?
I watched it on TV, but I am a true diehard fan because I did go to the training camp in 2003, right before they went.
Come on, sports geek, you got to buy a ticket. You got to get down to Miami. You got to make the sacrifice. Mortgage your house. Sell your car. Get in a hoopty, whatever you need to go. Bum a ride. Get on a train. Get down there and wait for a ticket. Anything, you know, sell your future children. That's what you're a Bear fan. That's what you got to do.
I know, I know.
Yeah, we'll get you down there perhaps this year, Coach.
Hey, listen, Coach, you know, I'm a big Raiders fan. I brought tickets to a playoff game in L.A. that I'm living here in Maryland. I knew I was never going to get there, but I bought a ticket anyway.
That's a diehard fan, Coach, because not only did you know you wasn't going to make it to L.A. to see the game, you knew the Raiders was never going to see the playoffs.
Well, we just had a tough time. We have a tough time. It's an economic time, Coach.
yeah. And the Raiders are having an even rougher time. Hey, Sports Geek, this Coach Epps, like Coach Coop said, he's a Raiders fan, and I'm a big-time Steelers fan. And all I can say is a six-pack is sure nice, Coach.
Oh,
jeez.
You know what, guys?
I cannot believe y'all are fans of teams that probably won't do anything for the next 2 years. And now we got the Bears are going to have a franchise quarterback from now on.
It's all over, guys.
I'm
like you, Sports Geek. See, I don't leave my team in times of adversity. I stick with them. I'm in the trenches. If I got your back, I got your back. I'm there till the end. I'm going in the trenches with you.
Hey, you know what, Coach Coop? I can say one thing. To be a Raiders fan, you must be a diehard fan. Because
that's what I was going to say.
They've been in the toilet for quite a while here lately.
Wait a minute, Coach. How many rings are out there, Coach? How many rings? We got at least three.
Y'all have three Super Bowls,
there,
Coach.
We know. Come on.
Y'all have three Super Bowls. And multiply those three times two, and you'll have the number of Super Bowls that the Steelers have, Coach.
Sports, did you get a chance to listen in the early part of the show when we were talking about college athletes?
Yeah, a little bit.
What were you trying to explain about college?
We were just
trying to see whether or not sports athletes should be receive some form of compensation for the amount of revenue they bring in, the amount of people they bring to the stands, the jersey sales, the whole nine yards, that they get some form of compensation. And one of the things was suggested that maybe a 401k or something like that will be in place for them after their time is their 4 years of school is done, that there's something for them in place so that, they do reap some benefits of that.
You know, if you do that, you can still take your 401k out anytime you want, so that's still not going to be good. There's too much money into that stuff. If they're going to do anything, they need to put the money back into their education to make them go back to school and get their master's or finish out their college years. That's what
you're talking about. You're talking about the players that leave before their four years are up. They decide they opt out to go to the pros. But what about the ones who do stay the 4 years?
You know, the ones who stay 4 years, it's all about money. I'm tired of those people, man. I can't stand those people who are all about the money.
I just can't agree
with that at all. You know, having those players getting any kind of compensation, they need to work hard to get to where they need to get.
Look
at Walter Payton, Barry Sanders. Those guys worked hard.
Right.
Yeah, they did.
We don't have people like that anymore, you know?
And they definitely worked hard, but we were bringing it from the perspective of Sports Geek that, we just used one player, Reggie Bush, for example. Remember a couple years ago when USC was on the undefeated two-year ban streak, and Reggie Bush jersey sold out. They sold upwards 30,000 to 40,000 jerseys of Reggie Bush. And that's a direct correlation with him as an athlete. I mean, of course, they love USC, but they were buying it because they love Reggie Bush. And we were trying to say, isn't that something that you can do for that individual athlete who's generating millions of dollars for the school, but he's receiving nothing in compensation back?
Do they need it? That's what I was wondering. Aren't they going to get it in the pros?
Yeah, but I mean, true to form, all athletes never make it to the pros. Take Lynn Biles, for instance, there with Maryland a couple of years ago. Not more than a couple, but several years ago, Lynn Biles never actually played one game in the NBA.
And I'm still against it. I mean, I can't see them doing anything to compensate them for all. They still need to work hard to get into the pros.
And you know what, Sports Geek, and that's why we love this show, because everybody has an opinion, and we're not here to force our opinion on anyone. We just love to hear the vast majority of opinions that's out there.
Cool.
Hold on for a second. I'm getting a call from sounds like it's from prison. I hear a lot of dogs barking in the background. Mike Vick, is that you? I apologize. I thought maybe he was calling. Because I know he had to give back a lot of money, and I thought maybe he had something going on.
I'm telling you guys, I do have to tell you guys something. Mike Vick will be back in the NFL.
I think so, too.
I believe.
I think so, too. But he had to give back $6 million a day, though.
That's fine. He's going to work construction his way back. So he's gonna
construction. Can you believe that? And first of all, I'm trying to figure out, what is the bankruptcy thing about? If you got $6 million to give back to Atlanta, can you be in bankruptcy court? That kind of seems weird, doesn't it?
I don't know, Coach. I'd be taking my $6.5 million. I'd be playing the NFL Europe. Don't get me.
I mean, I'm just trying to figure that out, Coach. I'm sitting there looking at him appearing in bankruptcy court today, and he just gave Atlanta Falcons back $6 million. So I'm saying to myself, if he got $6 million, why are you in bankruptcy court?
Well, you know that new job he's going to get, Lon. I think he's going to get a job, a 40-hour week job at $10 an hour.
Right.
I guess he will be.
Right. I think the bankruptcy part is that he don't have the $80 million that he used to have while he was still playing. But bankrupt, I really can't understand how he bankrupt, Coach, because look at this fact. They gave him a $35 million signing bonus. He only gave $6 million of it back. And he's been in jail for the last year or so. So, where's the money?
Well, the investments, Coach. All that, the stock went down. I lost money in the stock too. I'm still holding on to Ford, though.
Well, what did you invest in, Coach? Kibbles and bits.
See, I got Ford products. See, I'm hoping Ford will come back. I ain't gonna drive one, but that's an American staple, just like apple pie. And that company's gonna come back. I'll be up there at the $6.5 million in my ranch. I'll invite me and Sports Geek. We can come out. But you can't come, Coach. So you're talking about my business.
Yeah, I feel you on that, Coach Coop. I feel you on that. But I just wonder sometimes when these people are filing for bankruptcy, are they truly bankrupt? Are they truly in financial dire straits here, Coach? Or is it saying that I will never be like an average person? I'm just bankrupt to the status that I'm accustomed to living. And I think that's a big difference, because to me, the average person, if I'm bankrupt, Coach, I'm not going to hand somebody $10,000, not alone $6 million.
Well, like I said again, Coach, you know, we talked about the salary ranges again, and I said the salaries need to be, you know, relatively reasonable, because even if you have a four-year degree and I decide to pay you $250,000 to play football, then if you don't want that, good luck working at Burger King or wherever you want to get, because you're not going to make that kind of salary, thereby reducing money that, you know, average fan can take his family to the game. You know, you had to pay $9 for a beer and $7 for popcorn, all these ridiculous prices. You know, that make it reasonable. Bring it back to purity of the game where people enjoy it.
Well, Coach, it's that time of night. We're going to sign off. It's been a great show. And remember, Coach, every opinion is valid here. You know, there's no good opinions, no bad opinions. It's simply your opinion. Good night, Coach.